Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Excuse me, it's St. Patrick's Day. We're having a beautiful first day of spring break. It is a gorgeous day outside. It's going to be a gorgeous day here in Northwest Florida. One thing that happened late last week, as Democrats are trying to come to some kind of consensus on what happened in the past election, there was an issue that I think was a key driving election issue in the election, was this issue of very, very narrow issue of transgendered athletes in playing in sports. And last week, Gavin Newsom opened a new podcast, and Gavin Newsom, governor of California, looking to run for president in the next presidential election. And he is beginning the more rightward. I mean, for him, it is definitely a rightward turn. It doesn't mean he's gone to the right. He has just turned to the right as he is trying to get somewhere near the world of sanity from where he was. His first podcast guest was Charlie Kirk, and in the process of the conversation, he kind of made a move that was shocking to Democrats. He kind of came out and said, I think that the party has been wrong on transgendered athletes. I think that it's an issue where men should be playing in men's sports and biological women should be playing in women's sports. And I think it is an issue where the Democratic Party has been way out of line with what most Americans are feeling. I think that having respect for transgendered individuals, for them to live life as they so choose, is one thing. Having the athletics issue be another thing. There was the swimmer, Leah Thomas, who was a big talking point. And then even this spring, there was a Division I volleyball team out in one of the West Coast schools, and they were getting into like the finals of the conference tournaments, and teams were like, we're not playing. We're not doing this. And so it's interesting to see the guy who is, you know, I would assume at this point that Vice President Harris, Gavin Newsom, and Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan are probably the three Democrats who are the potential bench to run against Donald Trump in 4 years. And one of those people kind of taking a stand that we're trying to turn the ship from where we have been to more of a center position, at least. Center adjacent, like left, but center adjacent to where he has been. Because I think that Governor Newsom had been one of the most liberal, one of the most progressive members of the Democratic, high level cabal of candidates that possibly could be. He was the most liberal of them. And to see him, who has been kind of a liberal lion of the Democrat politics, the DNC, to come out and say, I think we were wrong on this issue, guys. It's time for us to turn, is a major statement for where the Democratic Party is going. And with Chuck Schumer voting for the bill to extend funding and him getting criticism and Gavin Newsom turning central and people wanting to go more left and AOC attacking and Bernie Sanders attacking, the Democratic Party is still having a crisis of identity at the moment. But I think that it is interesting and fascinating to watch them do this. And, of course, they won't be running against Donald Trump, but they will be running against whoever the next Republican candidate is. But it is interesting to see this as they are trying to find, who are we? What do we want to be? And as one of the leaders of the party, to kind of take that rightward turn is very interesting. It is 7:15 on St. Patrick's Day, which means it's time for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Starting to see some congestion slowdowns. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, that's about a 5 to 7 minute delay there, not really bothering you. 98 and Highway 90 are flowing smoothly. Even 9 Mile Road looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Did you know that the golden rule given to us in Scripture is given in the context of prayer? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12 gives us the golden rule. The Bible there says, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." Just previous to this verse in Matthew 7 are instructions that we are to ask, seek, and knock through prayer, and the Lord will provide good things. So understanding that the golden rule is given in the context of prayer, the question is, do you pray for others like you would want them to pray for you? Are you in a situation where you need God to provide for you in a huge way? I suggest that you not only ask, seek, and knock for your needs, but that you ask, seek, and knock for the needs of others, and then marvel at how God not only meets their needs, but yours as well.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Get your tickets to Pass a Good Time, New Orleans style, at the Sasebon WSRE Wine and Food Classic on Saturday, March 29th. This year's event will let the good times roll with celebrity chef John Besh and the big easy sounds of Corey LaDay Zydeco on the WSRE Amos Studio stage. Enjoy Creole-inspired cuisine at the Walkabout Tasting and cast a vote for your favorite local chef. Go to WSRE.org/events for tickets and event details.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No sleep till!
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. It's a wonderful St. Patrick's Day, beginning of spring break, beautiful day outside. One thing that I started out this morning talking about is the impact that everything being in the sunshine has on our county commission. Because so many times here in Escambia County, we fail to get things across the finish line. And I think part of it is any time that we are choosing to invest a significant amount of money of the county's resources into a big project, it comes with some, like, it's how we're choosing to invest. And it's politically can be very, very challenging. And when the only time that you can have any of these conversations, which can be very challenging, is for the first time in front of the public with a bunch of people looking at you, it can be really hard to have transparent and honest conversations about it. And if you look over Escambia County's history, just over the past couple of years, we have problems getting OLF-8 across the finish line. The Civic Center is still kind of out there. Building a sportsplex, which we've talked about, and, you know, Stephen Berry had something in District 5 that happened and then didn't happen right away. You know, the Maritime Park for years, and that's the city and not the county, but the Maritime Park has never really developed as far as it was supposed to be. And then here recently, we've had both the issue with the Chappie James statue, and I know in Steve Stroberger's district, there was the issue of moving the poker room from one place to another place. And we get into all these conversations, and they happen in front of a group of people, and you have these five people who are elected by relatively small groups of citizens, and everybody is afraid to make themselves look bad. And sometimes you have to have tough conversations about how we're going to invest this money, where we're going to invest this money. And when the only time you can have a conversation is on the dais in front of a bunch of people, it makes it extraordinarily challenging. Now, I know that Escambia County also has a history of things not being in the sunshine, and we had a time when almost all of our county commissioners were removed, and I'm pretty sure that had to do with the soccer complex that is up there north of Kimstrian Road in the north part of the county and how that was funded and what happened with that. The specific detail on that may be wrong, but I do know the county commission. I think almost the entire county commission was removed when that happened because things were not happening in the sunshine, and it may have been one of the impetus for stronger sunshine laws statewide. And I do support the sunshine laws. I just think at times they create a challenge because when you have to do everything in public, and not only have to do everything in public, you can't even have a conversation with your colleague to say, hey, explain this to me. Why is it like this? How does this happen? Because you don't want to make it sound like you don't know what you're talking about, but if it's not your project and it's not all of your things, you don't have all the answers, it becomes really challenging for somebody to have an honest, informed decision when the only time you can have any kind of conversation about it is when it's time to vote on it. It just seems like a very backwards way of doing things. And I don't think it's the only reason that we've seen struggles on getting things accomplished. I just think it is something that doesn't make it easier to get things accomplished. Because in this county, we have had tremendous problem getting the ball across the finish line. And we've gone through, I don't know at this point, 4 or 5 developers at OLF-8 who have had either a contract or the opportunity for the contract. And then it gets passed on. And so I think that everything happening outside the sunshine doesn't help a ton. It just makes it harder to get the ball across the finish line. And we'll talk more about this later. But at the moment, it is time to go to David Wayne in the newsroom with headlines.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. This will be a day of cleanup, recovery, and mourning after storms moved across the South and the Midwest on Saturday. Now they're saying as many as 40 people may have died in those storms. The majority of the deaths in Missouri, at least 12 people there were killed. The search is on for a man that set another man on fire near Times Square in New York. Police there say a 911 call came in on Sunday morning for a person that was on fire. Nearby police were able to get a fire extinguisher and put the flames out. The victim, though, suffered burns to his face and arms, but is expected to survive. Police believe the suspect and the victim may have known each other in that case. Measles cases being reported now across more than a dozen states. The CDC says even more possible cases could be announced here later. The biggest outbreaks are in Texas and New Mexico. And I suppose to end on a positive note, egg prices are coming down. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reporting the national average for a wholesale price for a dozen eggs is down $2.70 from last week.
The price of eggs are too darn high.
I know, right?
I have friends who I see on Facebook all the time, and they, you know, some time ago, they lifted the ordinance where you can have a few chickens inside Pensacola, and it's like they don't even need to paint them gold for Easter this year. They just are. They take them out on the corner and sell them for whatever, because they are the goose that laid the golden egg is just a chicken, and it's just a regular
I wonder
egg.
How that's going to affect Easter.
I mean,
I'm just curious about that.
Don't dye that. That is
precious. That's gold, bro.
Yeah. Just take the dollars in the plastic thing. Leave the eggs alone.
That's right.
People
you can't
used to
afford those.
Yeah, we can't. We got to go get the plastic eggs this year. We can't afford to dye the real eggs. It's just use some common sense. What are you doing? That's funny. But hopefully by Easter, when it's as late as it possibly can be this year, in 4 to 5 weeks, we will see eggs at less than a dollar a piece, because that would be tremendous. Yes. It is 7:25. It is time for Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still rolling accident-free. That's good news on that. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Just seeing about a 5-minute congestion delay through that area. But other than that, 98's rolling smoothly along with Highway 90. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's wonderful to see when things are moving about without any kind of horrible delays. As we are moving forward in our state legislative year this year, we are having some conversations about how to protect Jewish students in our schools as we see all the protests. And I think it's one of the interesting kind of unforeseen consequences of the elimination of all of the DEI offices, because that would be the people who would be handling this on college campuses. And without anybody to transfer that to right away to say, okay, we didn't like the DEI office, which I understand, but there are issues that happen where you have groups of students who are protected classes who are at odds with each other. So who's going to do that now? And so I think that that's one thing that we're seeing, and we're seeing some significant pieces of legislation. We're seeing federal action that's happening. I think over the weekend, Secretary of State Rubio said that folks who are legal, who are protesting at the pro-Hamas things, they were going to take action on to deport them. But I think it's interesting on our college campuses that because of our concern about the DEI issues, when we have transferred that out, we didn't transfer the need for some of these things that we want to have happen to happen. And I think it's interesting that a lot of times when you do one thing, you have the unintended consequence, and there's nobody really to pick that up to say, how are we going to do this? And now we have multiple pieces of legislation that say, we are going to do this to protect these students, but there's not that – enforcement's the wrong word, but there's not that organization, that place on campus, because – it's really hard to write something because you're talking about protecting one group of students, which sounds a whole lot like DEI. And so how do you write that into some form of job, you know, any of those kind of things that we're going to have a person doing this on campus? And so I think that there is some need for campuses to come forth with this kind of student protection organization or something along those lines. And then how do you write it to say that we're interested in protecting these students, but not these students? And it gets very, very complicated when you say we don't want this, but we do want it in this situation. And so I think that is, there are numerous bills that are up this legislative session, both here in the state of Florida and at the federal level, to protect Jewish students on campuses, which I am fully supportive of. I don't think that you should be going to campus and being attacked just randomly, just because you're trying to get to class because of what is happening on a national level. But finding the person that can do that in a role that they can do that, that isn't DEI adjacent, is a challenge for campuses. And I think it is some areas where they cut off all the DEI offices, but I think that they probably will need some type of student support office moving forward to protect students of any race, creed, or those kind of things. I think even the people who are the most anti-DEI would not be happy if African-American students were just randomly being attacked on campus, or even Middle Eastern students, or Palestinian students, or Islamic students, if they were being physically harassed, attacked on campus, people would not be okay with that. And so I think that we need to see some allowance of some type of student support office come down if we are going to say we need to protect students of the Jewish faith, Jewish nationality, from kind of outbursts on campus. But doing anything back in the DEI direction doesn't seem like the way anybody wants to go. And so navigating how you do that is going to be interesting to see how they do it. I think it is a very, very fascinating thing to do. I am Jeremy Evans. What do we have coming up on headlines? I might be reading from the wrong sheet of paper.
News. I'm Chris Foster. At least 40 deaths are reported in 3 days of storms now finished, hitting the South and Midwest. Hundreds of homes are gone, including this man's in Alabama.
A few minutes after we left and got up there, that it hit, and it just destroyed it.
There are deaths reported in at least 7 states, the most 12 in Missouri. The White House denies defying what it calls an illegitimate court order, putting a hold on certain deportations because those deportees had already left U.S. territory.
261 illegal aliens were deported to El Salvador on Saturday, 137 via the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. This wartime authority gives the president the power to deport non-citizens without a judicial hearing. The act has only been invoked 3 other times in American history.
Fox's Madeline Rivera in Washington. These deportees are mostly Venezuelan suspected gang members. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a beautiful sunny morning. We've got 47 degrees right now in Pensacola. And, well, the church in Admore burned down over the weekend. This was after the storm Saturday, apparently following lightning strikes in the area. The First Presbyterian Church in Admore went up in flames shortly after that lightning had been reported.
We've got so many good people that attend church here that will be here in the morning, well, later today, looking for looking to hear a sermon and a church service. It's difficult to share the future right now since we're not sure. The only thing we know that's in our future is rebuilding our church, getting our people back in that building.
And that is Church Elder Stephen Shirley. And services Sunday morning, though, still happened despite the fire. The service happened on the church lawn. The church does say their first goal now is to find a temporary location for services until they're able to rebuild, and that could take sometime around a year. A new sportsplex in the works, possibly for Bellevue. Developers say they want to provide facilities for baseball, for basketball, and softball. The plan includes 2 15,000-foot buildings, square foot buildings on a 2.4-acre site just off Mobile Highway. That would be complete with batting cages, basketball courts, office space, and accessible restrooms. A proposal was filed recently, but it hasn't been reviewed yet by Escambia County's Development Review Committee. The land is currently owned by a local businessman who bought it last year. ECAT bus services are back to normal operations today. This is after buses had to be stopped early Saturday due to the possibility of severe weather that night. NASA says there's no special celebration that's being planned, at least yet, for 2 astronauts that had an unexpected 9-month stay on the International Space Station.
We're excited to get Crew 9 back, and I know Butch and Sonny are excited to come back, and then we'll celebrate, you know, when they're ready.
And that is NASA spokesperson Steve Stitch from a news conference last week. Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore originally planned to be at the space station for about a week. Problems with the Boeing Starliner forced them to stay for much longer. Crew 9 scheduled to leave the space station on Wednesday morning. NASA has not said when they think splashdown will happen. The search for a missing diver in Broward County is at a sad end. The Coast Guard announcing they've suspended the search for diver Jack Levine. The 24-year-old went missing Saturday a few miles off of Pompano Beach. The Coast Guard says they searched 1,500 square miles, but there was no sign of Levine. A man's in custody after allegedly stealing an ambulance and leading FHP troopers on a chase. This was in Tampa over the weekend. FHP says Michael Esquilin stole a Tampa Rescue ambulance on Saturday night from a hospital. Troopers tried to pull him over, but he kept going. According to FHP, he drove through stop signs, drove the wrong way, almost hit several vehicles, and when he finally stopped, he drank a beer in front of FHP troopers and told them he'd been drinking for 2 days. He also told them he stole the ambulance because paramedics wouldn't give him a ride home. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens with our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, experiencing that congestion delay of about 7 to 10 minutes in that area. But other than that, we are rolling accident-free and delay-free. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Beautiful and sunny for today with a high near 67 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping that sunshine around for Tuesday with a high near 69 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 49. For Wednesday, sunny skies again with a high near 73 and a low near 55. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 48 degrees in Pensacola, 46 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton, and a sunny, beautiful morning. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors will be parsing through the upcoming economic data for any signs of an economic slowdown. The U.S. retail sales report set to release this morning will give insight into the state of the consumer. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect retail sales to have increased 0.6% in February. Data drops in 10 minutes. Ferraris are becoming increasingly popular among young buyers, with the CEO of the luxury automaker revealing that 40% of new buyers are now under the age of 40. CNBC reports CEO Benedetto Vigna said Ferrari remains on track for the landmark unveiling of its first fully electric car on October 9th. A new Federal Reserve analysis said in 2024, roughly half of Americans holding multiple jobs have a college degree. The financial benefits can be slim. Overemployed Americans had an average income of nearly $58,000 per year. This is slightly higher than those with one job, at roughly $57,000 per year. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 674. That's your money now.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were thinking about buying a Honda Odyssey, and we had about 6 months we figured left on the main gasket, head gasket for our Grand Caravan, and we just wanted to test drive an Odyssey to make sure it's what we wanted. Nobody had one. It just was the wrong age for the pre-owned certifieds, and it was a whole mess. We couldn't find one to test drive, but we knew we wanted to make sure what we were going to buy eventually. Well, Frontier had one, and we test drove it, and we loved it. And they said, do you want to look at a price? And we didn't want to be rude and say no. So we looked at the price. We're like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Can you come down a little bit? They said, yes. We said, well, can you give us a day? And they said, yes. We said, can you come down a little bit more? And they said, yes. And we said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. I mean, it was that easy. And we wound up buying a one-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it that had come back from an auction in Orlando because the dealership there couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And we got a great deal on an outstanding car that we have loved ever since. And we didn't go to buy a car. We just went to look at it, and we couldn't say no once we saw what they had. That's how easy it is to find good quality cars at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
More a salute. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, putting suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. This is Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. We are joined by Escambia County Super of Elections, Robert Bender. Robert, how are you this morning?
Morning, Jeremy. Doing great. Thanks so much for having me here.
So we have an election coming up. Early voting starts on Saturday.
Saturday the 22nd through March 29th, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., all 10 locations. We do have one. So in January, we did seven of the locations, but now we're back up to the all 10. And then if you had voted at the Asbury Place and the last few recent elections, they were not available for these dates coming so quickly. And so we've moved that to the Tryon branch, and we'll be sending out some letters to some people that voted at there in August. But we'll also have a sign up at that location directing them to the Tryon branch. If you do end up going to Asbury Place, it's pretty close. So we'll have all 10 locations open again, and 8:30 to 5:30.
And tomorrow, an election in Century?
Tomorrow, election in Century. Town Council, seat four. You have three candidates vying for that. Of course, if any one of the candidates gets more than 50%, they'll be elected. The mayor was also open, but we only had one person file for that, so that won't be on the ballot. So if you're in town of Century, precinct 22-1, you will have an election tomorrow. We have had some vote by mail go out for that, and so we will be we'll be canvassing vote by mail for the congressional race in the morning, and then we'll all drive up to Century and canvass those ballots in the evening. So we'll be at the town council chambers with those results at 7 p.m.
And so as we start early voting on Saturday, the election itself will be April 1st for in-person voting in Escambia County. Voters will just be voting to replace Congressman Matt Gaetz for CD1. The Republican nominee is CFO Jimmy Patronis. The Democrat, Gay Vaillamont, who ran in the past election against Matt Gaetz. And if you're in Santa Rosa County, which is not your jurisdiction, but listeners here, House District 3 will be having primaries. And I know there's a slew of Republican candidates. Is there also Democrat?
No. So we actually did a joint Tappy and I, Supervisor Villain and I, are trying to save taxpayers some money. So we went in on an ad together. And so we had a special section for them showing that that Republican-only voters in House District 3 with their sample ballot in the paper on Sunday. So yes, they will actually have two races. And so if you're not in House District 3, if you're in House District 2, of course, you wouldn't have that. Or if you're not a Republican, you wouldn't have that on their ballot, and you would just have the congressional race. So for Escambia County, it is just the congressional race.
And then, you know, since you're here, it's not necessarily pertinent to – I mean, it is pertinent to this specific this specific election, but it's also pertinent to everything. For those of us who traditionally voted mail-in, there were some tweaks to the law this year that you need to be in contact with the Supervisor of Elections office to – renew your mail-in voter status, and am I saying that right?
Yes. So, and this is what I like to say is that Florida continues to improve, right? That we The supervisors now say that we're the platinum standard instead of just the gold standard. You know, everyone talks about vote-by-mail ballots and security around that. Florida does it on the front end as well as the back end. So on the front end, you have to make that request every 2 years, every general election cycle, and you have to give your driver's license or the last 4 years social when you make that request. If you go online to do it, you can do that. And sometimes people are like, hey, I can't be found. I'm putting in my last four of my social. It may not be associated with your record, so try your driver's license instead or vice versa. And that way it might find you. But you can call the office. You can send us an email if you put in that information of your last four or your driver's license. Of course, a lot of people don't want to email that. So it was everything was wiped clean after the election in November. And so to put that in perspective, we sent out 43,000 vote-by-mail ballots for the general election. We've only sent out 18,000 so far this time, but we've had 56% turnout returned already. 10,200 have come back.
And we will get right back to that after a traffic on the fives update.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So you have been in your position for a little over a year now. Is that right?
Yep.
What have you learned about being supervisor of elections? What about our election process that was something that maybe you did not know before you took this position?
So I would say I was fairly familiar with it because I was on the canvassing board in 2020 during the last presidential election as the county commissioner. And I was involved in the process. I didn't just sit in the corner and wait for them to come to me. I actually helped run one of the machines. And I was preparing to do that. We had had a century special election when I was, you know, so I would say I was fairly familiar with it. It is a lot easier when you can just make the decision on what you think's the right thing to do or what you think's the most equitable, and you don't have to argue about that with anybody. And so that's been great. But I'd say I have great staff. You know, a lot of people know Sonia Daniels. She was there with David and has stayed on. And that was important to me. I mean, even when I first put my name in, I went down and talked to her, and we talked about how I wanted her to stay on. And so we have great staff, great election workers. Again, they are there to be the eyes and ears of the public, as well as for me is what's going on inside a precinct. And so we had over 600 of them show up in November. We're gonna have a little bit fewer this time. But it's a little bit easier, and I love it that I can somewhat get out of the politics side of it.
Yeah.
And you know, treat everybody the same, know and understand the laws of Florida, and help interpret them. So it's been a great experience, and I'm really enjoying it.
That's tremendous. One of the things that I've gotten to do it a couple times is going into schools and doing like a election. Like I remember being in the second grade and doing the 1984 election, and we've all voted. I was, you know, everybody in my class voted for Ronald Reagan, and that really first touch with what it means to vote for something or somebody, even if it's I like red M&Ms versus blue M&Ms, and to kind of introduce people to democracy.
So, and this is actually, we're starting this right now as the Sunshine Readers.
Yeah.
Statewide, the kids, if they've read the books or read enough books, they get to vote on their favorite book. Usually we go into the schools and do it with the special elections. We're not able to do that as much this year, but we've gotten them all ballots, and they'll cast their ballots into the box, and then we'll come back and scan them. So that is one thing that we do. Of course, we get into the high schools to talk to the high school seniors about voting. The ability for 16-year-olds, when they get their driver's license, they can go ahead and pre-register. So I just signed a whole stack of kids that are turning 18 before April 1st. I signed their congratulations, you're 18. I put happy early birthday so they know I'm doing it early. But I think the coolest thing about that is that you could go vote before you're 18 because you're eligible for the election. And so you have the right to vote by mail or early vote, even if you're not 18 yet. That you will be by election day, and so you're eligible for the election. So I personally think that'd be one of those great little icebreaker stories, like, hey, I voted when I was still 17. But getting in, that is a lot of fun when you go in, you do like the elections for the class presidents and stuff like that. We've done that with a couple schools, but really getting in and seeing everything and letting them know. And I even use it as a, look how easy this process is.
Yeah.
Go home, tell your parents, tell them to take you to the to the polls when you when they go vote in November or something like, you know, so or in April, you know, take your kids and let them see how easy it is, or they may take you and show you how easy it is.
Well, Robert Bender, we thank you for coming in. Early voting starts on Saturday. Go vote. You know, the process works the best when everybody participates. Really quickly, one of my favorite things that's happened to me in forever. This past election, I went and early voted at the extension office there off of 9.5 Mile Road, and it was somebody's first time voting, and they announced it, and everybody clapped for them, and I thought it was amazing. But anyway, thank you for coming in. Everybody go vote. This is Jeremy Evans for the Pensacola Morning News, filling in for Andrew McKay.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed, and the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Back to the Pensacola Morning News. This is Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. It is about time to check in with David Wayne over in the newsroom with our headlines. David, what's new?
Well, President Trump's national security advisor says Iran has been put on notice after U.S. airstrikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen. Mike Waltz told Fox News Sunday that the military targeted the leadership of the Iran-backed group in response to their attacks on global shipping in the Red Sea. More than 50 deaths are attributed to airstrikes that were carried out over the weekend. A pair of astronauts stranded on the International Space Station are gearing up to come back to Earth. Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore, they're about to wrap up their unexpected 9-month stay on the International Space Station due to issues with the Boeing Starliner that took them there. A SpaceX capsule will be their ride home. That docked at the space station over the weekend, NASA says. They are set to begin the journey on Tuesday with a splashdown expected just before 6 p.m. that day. And March Madness begins this week, and with it comes the potential for the economy to lose billions of dollars. That, according to a recent survey by sports betting and media brand Action Network, which predicts March Madness could cause the U.S. economy to see $20 billion in lost productivity. The lost productivity comes in a number of forms, from workers being distracted on the clock to 40% of survey respondents who admit to calling in sick to watch a game. I don't know who did this survey, but they obviously are not March Madness fans.
And now it's time for traffic on the fives.
That's right. One accident to let you know about. If you're on Highway 29 and Muskogee Road, it's off to the side of the road, but I'm starting to see just some minor delays associated with that. Also, if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you will see about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It was good to have Robert Bender and our supervisor of elections come in to talk about the special election that's coming up. He said that in the primary in August, we had about 25% voter turnout, and they were expecting maybe a little smaller turnout. This election, it could be higher. But that's not a ton of people that are voting for a congressman, and that's kind of one of those issues where when you decrease the number of people who are voting, you get people who are really interested in a topic or really interested in a vote who can really sway things. And I think that's why I always encourage people to participate in the process in all the ways. Because if you are going to vote this weekend or vote in this election and you're one of the few people who are voting, then you can have a sway over the project. It's just like if you go and you speak at a county commission meeting, there's not a ton of people that go to county commission. They're pretty boring. Sometimes they're exciting. But you go and be a voice at a county commission meeting, and you may only have five or six people that are speaking to a subject. But if all five or six of those people are speaking the same direction, the impression the county commissioners are going to get is nobody wants this. I saw that Steven Schoberger had a town hall at the library last week about potentially moving the poker room from way out on the west side of town to right by I-10 in his district. And there was turnout of people, but the turnout were all against it moving, kind of the not in my backyard idea. And they raised some very valid points, but it was a small number of people as opposed to the number of people it would affect. But when everybody that you come and a small group of people is saying the exact same thing, that county commissioner, that person's going to say, my district is against this because the only people he's heard from in his district are against it. And so it is so important that as citizens, we participate in the process at all levels. The easiest way to participate in the process is to vote. We make it so easy to vote now. You can call the supervisor of elections office. You can get a vote by mail ballot. You can go to one of 10 locations. You probably drive by one or two of them on the way to work over the next several weeks. And you can go and cast your vote for who you want to be your next congressman in an election that one way or another is one of the most important elections that's happening in the country, because we know the results of the dynamic of Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. House is very, very narrow. So if Republicans win the seat, it saves them. It gives them a one or two, you know, votes that they can lose. Democrats win, they become a vote closer to taking back control of the House. And if they can control one of the three branches of government, they can dramatically slow down President Donald Trump in enacting his agenda. And so it is vital that citizens participate in the process, because if you don't go and vote, then you almost have no right to sit there and say, how can they be doing this to us? They can be doing that to you because you didn't participate. You didn't go and vote. And so it is one of the few high horses, you know, boxes I will stand on and I will put my foot down to say, go participate in the process. Go and vote. It's not that hard. This is Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.